If you don't mind, take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 53. I gave you all kinds of notice. That's where I was going to be now. Isaiah 53. And when you're old and when you've preached a whole lot, you like to come back to passages that you've read a whole lot and that have just blessed your heart down through the years. And Isaiah 53 has blessed my heart as Isaiah foretold all of the things regarding our Lord and our Savior. Let me just read. I'm going to read five verses to you from Isaiah 53. Y'all give ear. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Our Lord did not come as a conquering champion, a Samson with arms like wheelbarrows or something like that. He didn't come like that. He came as a very ordinary man. There was nothing about him that was, how shall I say, beautiful. He became beautiful in our eyes in a different way. But he had no form to come. And this third verse speaks of the Pharisees. This is what they thought of him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. That's the hymn we just sang. Acquainted with grief. And then this is about me right here. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. For several years in my life, as the Lord convicted me of sin and I knew that I needed to flee to Christ, I knew that I needed to run to him, I ran away from him. And I counted his giving himself for us. I hid my face from him. I didn't want to see him. Didn't want to have anything to do with him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. We didn't esteem him as well. Matter of fact, I'd still say that's a part of my testimony. I don't esteem him as all. We just don't do it. If we just knew all that our Lord has done for us, we would be staggered. We would say, as Isaiah said, when the Lord said, who shall I send? I'll go for you, Lord. You know why? Because just in the verse or two before that, the seraphim came with his hand and he put a hot coal on Isaiah's lips. And it says, and his iniquities were purged. His sins were forgiven right there on the spot. And because his sins were forgiven, he knew the gloriously wonderful gift that he had been given. And he says, I want to go find every one of God's people and share with them the glorious news of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And verse 5 is the verse that we'll set on today for a little while. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we're healed. I hold in my hand right here a set of notes that I wrote out 13 years ago. This is a sermon that I preached 13 years ago here. A good portion of y'all have never heard this sermon. The great, great majority of y'all will not remember this sermon. But I'm going to preach it again. Hey, listen, I cheat. I go back and pick up old errors. I went to a Bible conference in India back in 95. And Richard Belcher, whom I love, was a preacher there. And was a great preacher. He folded out this great big binder, and he had 100, 200 sermons in there, and he just thumbed through right there, and he'd come to the one that he had earmarked for that day. And I cornered him about it. I said, why you do that? He said, Carol, I've wrote out so many sermons. He said, I have got good ones, and I know when they're good ones, and I'm going to preach them as good ones. And he said, so I'm just going to preach them again and again and again. So this is a good one, okay? We're going to preach a good one right here, okay? It starts off like this. This is a very clear, distinct memory of mine, and yet I had a little fuzziness about me, so I called the family yesterday and had hours of conversation with Jan Willis's wife, with Jan Willis's son, and many memories just flooded my soul. Jan Willis was a guy who had a girl's name, and I met him one day at the courthouse in Gallatin, and he was researching a piece of property for a land survey. And I looked at him doing that, and he looked at me doing that, and he said, "Are you a surveyor?" And I said, "Yes, I'm a surveyor." And he said, "I'm Jan Willis," and he introduced himself, shook my hand, and we hit it off right then. We talked about the Lord. He was a member of First Baptist of Portland and was a dear member there, and his wife was like the secretary to the church, and we had just a real good talk. He said, "I'd like for you and your wife to come over to the house." I said, "Sure, I can." Did that. Now, this guy was a year older than me, and I get to his house, and he's got a 17-year-old boy, a 15-year-old boy, a 7-year-old girl, and a 4-year-old girl. And he was my age. My children were already adults at that time. Jim was 27 or 8, and the girls were 23, 4, something like that at the time. And I said, "What happened to y'all?" And he said, "Well, we got married later, and we started later than we had. Ms. Lynn and I got married right out of high school, and we just started. Man, we went to it. So what can I say?" But fell in love with that family. They'd come visit us, and their children couldn't play with our children because our children were too old. But I fell in love with David and Scott and Susie and Katie. Real dear, real dear. Jan, I'd follow him. He would send me surveys, and I'd send him surveys. We'd run up on his work, and he'd run up on our work. In the state of Tennessee, you have to put your name on everything you do. So when we set a corner, it's got my name on it, or it's got my license number on it. So we knew who the surveyors were. So we had a lot of fellowship, dear fellowship. One day, Jan was down at the researching at the courthouse, and he was walking along, and his foot didn't work. His foot didn't work. It slapped. He sort of stumbled a little bit. He said, "What was that? What was that?" So a few weeks later, he went and had it checked out, had some tests run. And then he went and got the results of the test. Now, at the time that he got the results of this test, his son was 17 and 15 and 9 and 7. No, 9 and 6. And the doctor, Jan told me later, he said, "In retrospect, I would have had someone else carry me, but I did not realize what the doctor was going to tell me." He said, "Jan, you have ALS. It's better known as Lou Gehrig's disease." And then for the next several minutes, he said, "You won't need to be coming back here. There's probably little or no medical care that will be associated with your disease that you have." He said, "In about 6 months, you will have to have a walker. You won't be able to walk very well. In 9 months, you'll be in a wheelchair. In about a year, you'll be immobile in bed," because ALS is that disease that stops communications from the brain to the muscles in the body. And the extremities are the furthest ones away, so they go first. So you lose your walking and your your arms and your legs, they go away. Then about 13 or 14 months, you'll not be able to talk, because it takes muscles in your mouth and in your body to generate words. Your last means of communication will be with your eyes. You'll just blink your eyes. One blink for yes and two blinks for no. I'm sure they worked out whatever they wanted to. Her, he and his lovely wife, Jenna, who I talked to yesterday. And it was good. Talked to David. David, his oldest son, has been to this church many, many times. Had a good talk with his wife and with him. I was there during those days. I visited Jan quite a bit. It was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking. I prayed for him thousands of times. A good friend. And the doctor's prophecy, or the doctor's diagnosis, was real. It's the way it happened. He ground down to where there was nothing there, and he closed his eyes. And all the time, though, with ALS, your mind is 100% on fire. It's active. You hear everything. If you have eyes to open, you see everything, but you cannot respond to anything. You're very active in your mind. And then the day comes when the muscle called the heart, the communication with the heart stops, and you die. You die. I had the glorious privilege of speaking at his funeral. I've only been to First Baptist Church Portland one time, and that was for Jan's funeral. I can carry you to his graveside right now. It's imprinted in my mind exactly where he's buried. You know, it's quite comical, though, that as he was talking to the doctor in that last episode, the doctor, he said, "Doc, don't you have a pill for this? Surely in the 20th century," now he was nearly in the 21st century when he got this news, because he was something like 1999 when he got this news. "Surely you got a pill for this. I mean, we're in the 20th century, Doc. Come on now." And the doctor said, "Well, we've been studying it since it became in the forefront when Lou Gehrig, the great baseball player, contracted that same disease, and it's just been a pattern. We've studied it, but all we can tell you is that we know how it's going to happen in your life, but we have not been able to fix it." "No, Mr. Willis, there's not a pill. There's not a pill for that. There's not a pill for that." You know, we have a lot of physical maladies. I mean, we have heart attacks. We have strokes. We have one of the ladies at the nursing home this morning said, "Diabetes." Diabetes is big. Miss Linda, my wife, had diabetes. Coronavirus has gotten pretty big. That's the big one right there, but it's thankfully moving away, and we hope and pray that it completely moves away. There's a lot of physical maladies, but you know, we have one glaring, and I'm going to call it a disease for lack of a better word, we have a glaring, every one of us have a glaring malady, spiritual malady, and it's called sin. Sin. Every one of us are born sinners. Adam's likeness is stamped on us. And we're just like our Father, who, and as a perfect man, sinned against his Father in heaven, who had made him as a perfect man in full righteousness, and yet he had the ability to fall. And he sinned, and he failed, and all of us are born sinners. We're like what David describes, "I came forth from my mother's womb lying. I'll always remember a young man that was in our church. He had a little boy named Bradley, and he was watching his little boy. He was about 14 months old in the backyard. He was just learning to walk, and he had been out in the backyard, and he had planted all these little trees. They were trying to decorate their backyard, and he said Bradley walked over to one of those little bitty stubs, and he reached down, and he grabbed that stub, and he picked it up out of the ground just like that, and then he looked around like this right here and stuck it right back in the ground. You can't tell me that a child doesn't speak lies and do things. That's it. Bradley did that. We come forth speaking lies. We are sinners. We're sinners. And it's amazing to me that our Lord has come. There is this disease that's called sin. And it's a wasting disease. It's a wasting disease. We saps all of our strength. Have you ever had an opportunity or ever had said to someone, "Man, I'm wasted"? Don't you know I've said that several times in the last year. I'm wasted. I'm wasted. I have no strength. I do not have strength to do. I'm wasted. That's what sin does to your soul. For when we were without strength, and we're without strength in our souls. We have no soul strength because of sin. Sin, our souls are sickened. It's a wasting disease. It's a painful disease. It wounds our spirits. It wounds our spirits. It's not something that we like to have or anything like that. We become wasted. We become wasted. The Bible says a wounded spirit, who can bear, who can stand? It's a loathsome disease. It's a disease that will turn you into a monster. And a monster you wouldn't think you were. I honestly believe that young man, I don't even want to speak his name, I don't even know his name, that walked into a school in Texas and killed 19 children and two teachers. 10 days before that, he probably thought of himself as a pretty good guy. Matter of fact, 5 days, 2 days before that, he probably thought of himself as a pretty good guy. But sin entered into his heart, and he became a monster. He became a monster. Let me share something with you. When you think you're not a monster, you are a monster if sin is in your heart. I mean, you can become a monster just like that. Every now and then, I look at my children around me. I live with a wicked son-in-law and a beautiful daughter and three snotty-nosed grandchildren. And they fuss and they fight. And I can see them biting one another's heads off just about at times. I've intervened several times and said, please love your sister. Please love. And then I reflect back on exactly how I was with my brothers. My sister came after me one day with a little baseball bat that my dad had. She would have killed me in an instant with that baseball bat if she could have got to me. You know what that's called? It's called sin. Sin. It's a disease that's loathsome. It will bring you down to nothing. It doesn't. We bear, once again, the marks of Adam when we have those marks. And yes, it's a mortal disease, too. The Bible teaches that the soul that sins shall die. Now, that's prophetic. Let me share something with every one of you. Children, are you listening? You're going to die, and it'll be sooner than you think. You're going to die. The soul that sins shall die. Moms and dads, look at your children. Look at yourself. They're going to die. You need to prepare in your heart that you're going to die. Matter of fact, I need to prepare in my heart that I'm going to die. Since Linda passed, my mortality has been right there every day. Every day. And it's been a gloriously wonderful thing. It has made me happy in the Lord to know that in just a few moments I'm going to see her. So I've been happy in the Lord. People ask you, how you doing, Carol? I said, well, I got this problem and this problem and this problem and this, that. But I'm happy in the Lord Jesus Christ because he is what he has done for me. He has blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. It's a mortal disease. It's a mortal disease. It bears upon us. And we say, just like Jan Willis, is there not a pill for that? Is there not a balm for that? Is there not a salve for that? Isn't there something? And the doctor said, Jan, I'm sorry. The answer is no. But I want to tell you today, the answer is yes, yes, yes is the answer. The answer is yes, because it's right here in this passage. It says, for by his stripes we are healed. I can feel it in my being. His stripes have healed me. I have been given grace to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and many of y'all have too. We're to live in the light of the fact that all of our sins have been forgiven. We've been washed whiter than snow through Jesus Christ our Lord. With his stripes, we are healed. And I'd like to take a minute and just consider the medicine. The pill that the Lord gives is his stripes for us. Consider the medicine just a minute. It's a beautiful thing to take a minute and consider it. And by the way, these stripes here, I believe, very clearly indicate the Lord's scourging when he was scourged before Pilate. But I sort of believe it indicates every bit of the suffering and anguish that he suffered and struggled with through his time on the earth, whether it be the arrest, prior to that, Gethsemane, the arrest, trial before Pilate, being captured by the high priest who hated him. How can you hate him? You can't hate him. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, we can't hate him. And yet, many times, we act like we hate him. We act like we hate him. What's the medicine look like? It looks like substitution. It looks like substitution. In my place, condemned, he stood in my place. Has Jesus died for you? Have you been to the cross of Jesus and found peace for your souls in Christ Jesus the Lord? Has he died for you? That's what this medicine looks like. Him dying for us. Him dying for us. In Adam, we're sinners, but in Christ, we are saved from our sin. There's no sin to that one who's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Beautiful. All our sin, that's on the screen up here quite regularly. All my sins have been forgiven. God is merciful to me. What a gloriously wonderful truth that we need to have before our eyes. Christ has taken his righteousness and stamped it on us. We don't have righteousness, but he stamped it on us. Wesley wrote, Charles Wesley, a Methodist. I'm not a Methodist. But he was a dear Methodist. I like him. I like Charles. Matter of fact, I like John Wesley. But you got to watch these Methodists in the 21st century, though. You got to watch them. They'll get you working your way to heaven if you don't mind, and you can't get there. You can't work your way there. But he wrote in my most favorite Christmas hymn, Hark, the herald angels sing. He says, Adam's likeness now efface, stamp thine image in its place. Second Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. The medicine is so complete. No sin remains. No sin remains. The Bible teaches that there's nothing hidden from God above. He has this all-searching, all-knowing eye. But unto that one who has been washed from their sins in the precious blood of Jesus, with his stripes we're healed, the all-seeing God looks and says, I can't see a blemish. I can't see anything. There's not a blot, there's not a blemish, there's not a single sin against that man right there. He's a spotless lamb, that man is, that woman is. They're spotless in Jesus Christ the Lord. It reminds me of an old chorus that I memorized 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It goes like this, it's surely sufficient for me. It is surely sufficient for me, if the blood of Christ is sufficient for God. Listen, it should surely be sufficient for me. If the Lord God of heaven sees and accepts the blood of Jesus Christ on your behalf, what are you wallowing in sin about? Why do you have guilt? Why do you have despair? You've been cured. You've been cured. The medicine has been dispensed. The stripes of Jesus Christ the Lord have come into your world. We behold the cure. We'll take an illustration real quick. Now, I love Paul. Paul is the glaring illustration of the cure, okay? Here's the cure. He's going down the road, threatening murder with hate, filling his heart, sin abounding to the heavens. He had just consented and been present at the stoning of Stephen. And Stephen, as the heavens opened up, and Stephen was enraptured by the sight of Jesus Christ the Lord, he came and gnawed on him, bit him with his teeth. He hated the Christian men and women. And he got letters to go to Damascus, and he was walking down the road, but he didn't. He found the cure walking down that road. The cure from all the sin that was bound up in his heart. The Lord stopped him. I'd use the word arrested him. He arrested him right there on the road to Damascus. And this was a very simple thing right here. This is a very simple thing. Paul said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus. And Paul said, well, what will you have me to do? And the Lord very briefly told him what to do. And I want you to know, Paul right there believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Right there, all of his sins had been forgiven. And he had a heavy account, by the way. He owed a whole lot in what we'd call sin debt. The old account was settled long ago. His account settling was a pretty major thing. So he's a good illustration. Because when the Lord Jesus, with his stripes, heals a man, you are healed completely. And then look what that man did. He would bear any hazard. He would throw himself in front of lions and tigers and bears to do what? To make Christ known. To find another brother in the Lord. To see the saints of God. Conformed unto the image of Jesus Christ the Lord. That was Paul. He yearned to see men saved. He's going to a place and didn't get any action there. He goes somewhere else. He was proclaiming the gospel wherever he went. He's a good illustration of a man that had his sins washed away. And it was just like that. It was just like that. Paul saw Christ, and he saw Christ formed in him, and he wanted it formed in every man. And so he went about preaching the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation unto all who believe. That's our heart regarding Paul. That's our heart regarding him. Christ had cured the curse. It cured the curse of sin. He cured the curse in our lives. That curse that he cured, it was a curse that fell on him. He took our curse. He took our curse there on the cross. Cursed is every man that dies on a tree. The word of the Lord says that. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse for you and for me to cure us from the curse. His stripes are healed. You know, he cures us from despair. There's appeal for despair in our world today. They're shipping them out all over the place. Matter of fact, every time I turn on the television, a new cure has come up for despair and depression and everything. And they say, you just send me your money. Oh, no, they won't say that. They'll say, just send us a request and we will send you a bottle for free. And then we'll have you on our list for the next 50 years in your life, because it'll make you happy and you'll be just tickled to death. Our world is pushing pills. We don't need a pill for despair. We need Jesus Christ the Lord for our despair, because he's the one that lightens the load. He's the one that saves the soul. He's the one that makes us happy in him. He's that one who does that. He cures us of, his cure is a cure for a stony heart. Stony heart. Man, there are some of you here got stony hearts, okay? You need a cure for your stony heart. You know what that cure is? It's the stripes of Jesus Christ the Lord. Our heart melts as we behold Christ dying for us. He was whipped for me. He was whipped for you. My brothers and sisters, that's what our Lord did for us. He did this for us. We're to know that. We're to walk after him and to love him for it. For with his stripes, we're healed. The stony heart is turned into a heart of flesh. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. And our Lord cures doubt. Doubt. Okay, I don't see how many liars are in the midst. How many of you have doubts? I was about to say we were full of liars, but all of a sudden y'all saw the trap. That's good. That's good. It's good. It's good. We have doubts every now and then. Let me share with you, if you want to get rid of all your doubts, especially about your wife, your children, yourself, your neighbors, what happened to you Target the other day, or what happened to you at Walmart. Did you see what that guy did to me? And you have doubts about yourself. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the price of that doubt. He doesn't want you to live in unbelief. Trust me. He does not want you to live in unbelief. He wants you to live in fiery belief on Him. And His stripes heal unbelief. They slay doubt. They slay it. You turn your eyes upon Jesus, in the words of the song. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Hear me on this. Hear me on this. The cure cures this fever called pride. Somebody I know jumped out the other day and made a prideful statement to me, and I said, "Son, that ain't nothing but pride." And I said, "I recognize it. You know why I can recognize pride? Because, man, sometimes it shows up in me a mile wide. I have to watch myself. We all have to. Pride is one of those seven what? Deadly sins. Pride. You know how you cure pride? The fever of pride in your life? You cure it by remembering the stripes of Jesus Christ the Lord. That He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of His peace was upon me, and with His stripes were healed. We're to remember that. We're to remember that He cured this terrible thing called selfishness, living for yourself. The whole world lives for itself today. The whole world is, I would if all the world was here this morning if I could. But listen, the whole world is living in selfishness. You may be living in selfishness right now. Don't do that. Don't do that. You be the most giving person in your house. No, we'll do better than that. You be the most giving person on your block. No, we'll do better than that. You be the most giving person in your community, in your country, in your world. You are to give of yourself and give of yourself and give of yourself. Your words to people should be, "How may I help you?" And they say, "Why would you say that to me?" Because I have been helped in Jesus Christ the Lord. His stripes have healed me. And it will heal us of our selfishness. We don't have to hold on to what's mine and say, "That's mine. That's mine." Because Christ didn't hold on to His. He gave Himself for us. He gave Himself for us. Fits of anger, it cures those things too. It cures them. Fits of anger. Any of y'all ever get angry? Boy, I tell you what, it just flares up over me that people get angry. I get angry at people getting angry. You know that? It just makes me mad. It makes me madder than a hornet for people to get angry around me. It's too much. It's too much. As a matter of fact, I'll get angry right back at them if they don't mind real quick. You know what our Lord did? They came and arrested Him. They didn't have any charges, by the way. They just came and arrested Him. And it says in three of the four Gospels that a great multitude, now I don't know what that means. That could mean a great army. That could have been there. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds came to get Him. I don't know how many it was, but a great multitude came. So much so that the disciples were terrified. They were terrified. But in John, it's quite interesting that when they showed up, Jesus said, "Who are you looking for, guys?" And said, "We're here for Jesus from Nazareth." And He said these words, big bad words right here, "I am He." And when He said those words, what happened? They all fell down. They all fell down. They stood back up. "Who are you looking for?" They hesitated this time. I think they did. Yeah, "We're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said, "I am He. These guys go free. I am He." He did not respond in anger. He did not respond in malice. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, stood as they carried Him away. And He was the righteous Son of God, the King of glory, before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That's the one who cures us of our of our anger. He cures us of our worldliness and cures us of our covetousness. His stripes do that. Don't be someone who covets your neighbor's stuff. I've been there, done that. Don't be someone that just lives for this world. I've been there, done that. Don't do that. Because the stripes of Jesus Christ the Lord removes all that. Well, what are we supposed to do with this medicine? With these stripes, we're healed, we'll call that the medicine. We're to believe that. We're to hold it before our faces. We're to sing Man of Sorrows, What a Name, more often in our lives. I might add, we could sing like something, Jesus paid it all to him. We could sing another hymn. There could have been any numbers of hymns that I could have let out with this morning. But we're to believe. We're to believe in the medicine. The sinner believes. And to shout, I believe, in the words of Dottie Rambo, I believe. In a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I love her for that. I hated it when she died in a car accident some years ago, bus accident. What do we do? We're to believe. What else are we to do? We're to demonstrate gratitude every moment and every day of our lives. Great grace has been poured into your life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to respond with gratitude. We're to respond with gratitude. Oh, what grateful hearts. Oh, our such favor unto us demands gratitude from our lives. It demands gratitude from our lives. It demands love. There is a name I long to hear. I long to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. What does it go? Oh, how I love Jesus. That's what we're to do. We're to love him. Our response is to love him. With all that we are, our response is obedience. He who stood for us and obeyed all the rules for us, we're to obey for him. We're to be despisers of sin. What's a part of this cure? We're despisers of sin. Now, we're not supposed to point and say, Greg, he's a sinner. That man's a sinner. No, it's like he is. I'm a sinner. We're to despise sin. We're to fight against it. Psalm 139 says this, it says, search me and know my heart and try me, O my God, and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me unto the way of everlasting life. We're to be those who love him, who fight against sin. So I can commend this medicine to you today, this medicine. God has provided in his Son his stripes. I commend it to you. It's a cure for all of your spiritual maladies. It's a cure. It's a cure. And so what do you do with it? What do you do with it? If Jan had asked that question of a doctor, do you have a pill for that? He said, yeah, here it is. You know what Jan would have done? He'd have took the pill and he'd have swallowed the pill and said, hallelujah, what a pill. What do you do with this news? What do you do with this medicine? You take it. You receive it. You take it from the Lord's hand and say, thank you, Lord, for the giving of your Son. For the giving of your Son. You receive it. Sin-sick souls are to receive the blessedness of the gospel of Jesus Christ the Lord. You receive it. With his stripes, you are healed. With his stripes, you are healed. It's an old lesson. But old lessons can be good lessons. Let's bow our heads and hearts and ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you for the glorious gift of your Son. We're thankful, Lord, that by his stripes we are healed. Lord Jesus, we love you today for loving us, giving yourself for us. Who are we that we should deserve such a gift? We are humbled by it. And Lord, we would ask grace to be motivated by it, to live in light of it, and to rejoice in it, that our sins have been forgiven through Jesus Christ our Lord, and with your stripes we're healed. Bless you for this day. Bless you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like for you to enjoy a time between services right now. Let me see, how much did I give you? Ah, I did good. I gave you an abundant amount of time. Have wonderful fellowship and come back here and give ear to the glories of Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for being here.